Ulterior.
All right, what's up, everybody? So this is day two of the 100 Best Songs of 2024 series. Part one was posted yesterday, which contained songs 100 to 81. And now this installment, part two, covers songs 80 to 61. Thank you guys so much for tapping in for this series so far, and I hope you all enjoy this episode. Number 80 is Closure by The Plot in You. Plot kept themselves busy this year. They had a series of EPs that were accompanied by singles from the EPs being released at different intervals in time. And I think there was a lot of ground that the band got to explore this year. Some sounds that were familiar to them and their audience, and then some that were kind of, steered into different directions. And I think Closure might be the pinnacle of that conversation, because in my mind, at least, I think Closure somehow sounds nothing like The Plot in You while sounding exactly like what I would expect them to when taking on this kind of a rhythmic song, because Closure is like super catchy and vibrant. It's got a lot of like hard and dance ability injected into the instrumentation, and I think the way that Landon is very like soft-spoken in the verses and then kind of allows his voice to flow along the same pattern as the instrumentation for the chorus, it was like every element of the band being in unison with each other in a way that you definitely got that with the other songs by The Plot in You this year, but just in my estimation, I don't know if I heard it be delivered better than I got to hear it on Closure. Number 79 is Rin by With Sails Ahead. I will definitely talk more about this throughout the next few days and weeks even, but With Sails Ahead is a band that I really, really, really fucking wish I had been a lot more tapped into last year, because they are fucking awesome. And I will always have an affinity for these kinds of bands who channel a style of post-hardcore that I totally could have imagined myself listening to when I was like 12, 13, 14, around that time frame on MySpace. With Sails Ahead would have been all over my fucking MySpace page, guys. And I think Rin is a great example of why, because there's a lot of like controlled chaos, I would say, going on with Rin. You get that sense right away from the drum fills that open the track and then how that progresses into this song that kind of feels like apocalyptic in some ways, but it never actually steers too far into that direction because of just how well balanced the instrumentation is with Sierra's vocals. I think Rin has a lot of great characteristics that you would find within other songs on Infinite Void going for it, and ultimately it became one of, at least in my eyes, one of the clear standouts on Infinite Void. Number 78 is Charade by Omerta featuring Vincente Void and Hash Gordon. So if you want me gone for good, you have to rip my feet from beneath the ground. I wish you were. So I say that kind of like in a weird like tone, like a tired tone, because I was gonna say this song caused a lot of shit on Twitter. I don't know if it was even this song specifically, or rather just the entire band Omerta. I made an episode back in the beginning of May that was kind of centered around the discussion of Omerta and what it was that they did and how people responded. And even like just right now saying what it was that they did, I'm saying that like they fucking murdered anybody. It's definitely an internet topic. I'll just put it that way. But just to kind of like summarize a little bit of it, because I think this lore does play into this song. Charade released the same week as Wind Waker announcing an album for July of this year, and the album was called Hyperviolence, and Omerta kind of went at the band for naming their album Hyperviolence when they didn't believe that their music embodies anything hyper or violent or whatever. And then they also like took jabs at the artwork for presumably being AI generated, and then Wind Waker's or the designer for that Wind Waker artwork kind of posted like the work in progress shots of the album artwork actually being made and showing that it wasn't AI. And then Omerta did not back down. To their credit, standing on business, 10 toes down on that shit. They really believed in what they were saying and they stood by it, not just against Wind Waker or the designer for Wind Waker, but fans altogether who were saying shit to them on Twitter. And then Omerta, again, to their credit, stood their fucking ground and talked shit back. And it was a back and forth stuff, and not just talking shit back, but talking shit back in a very like thesaurus kind of a way. It was actually kind of cool. I think so. Not cool that they were talking shit to fans, but just the way that they were going about it. And I want to mention this also. I'm not saying that I'm like on the side of Omerta in this whole topic or debate or whatever the fuck, but I understand where they're coming from. And again, I actually do have respect for the way that they just stood their ground and defended themselves. And all of that coincided with the release of the song Charade. So I think that might have put maybe some more eyes on Charade and maybe got some listens from people who otherwise normally wouldn't be into Omerta. And I would say that I classify myself as somebody who is not usually into this style of whatever the fuck you want to call what it is that they're doing. Is it hyperpop? Is it cybergrind? Is it something else of a weird vernacular that we're not discussing? I don't fucking know. But whatever it is, I think Charade is the best song I've ever heard out of that sector of the scene. And I mean that wholeheartedly, because there are a lot of like very odd yet fun elements about Charade that just take the song through several different like sharp left turns and then into varying areas that I wouldn't normally associate with the kind of sounds that this podcast generally covers. But I was at the very least happy to have been shown a song like Charade and intake it in a way where I came out of that week literally thinking that this was the best song at that point in time. And that's why it's on this list, because I think it's a song that sparked a lot of debate and a big point of conversation. A point of conversation that was kind of fucking annoying, to be honest, but it was still like Omerta definitely did enough, and maybe even more than enough, to make Charade a topic on the internet. And if you can get yourself that kind of attention, you're doing something right. Number 77 is Decompose by Inertia. A resounding theme for 2024 kind of like sneakily and quietly ended up being the effectiveness of debut albums by multiple bands. I just mentioned with Sales Ahead, and now Inertia has that same spotlight because the album Second Shadow brought with it a ton of high points for a band out of Sydney who I think a lot of people really need to be giving time and attention to, especially with a song like Decompose that I think really plays into the strength of this band quite heavily, because the structure of it just kind of like made that pathway for, say, somebody in the band like the vocalist Julian to have this ability to show off his range. Because you get into that first verse and it's like he's not really whispering, but it kind of has like a little bit of that effect, while there are these very faint keys in the background that really do add this nice touch to his voice. And then the chorus kind of erupts from there. You progress through the rest of the song, you have the breakdown, you have those big key moments, and I feel like Decompose was the kind of song that I would definitely show to somebody if they were trying to get the grasp and the knowledge of who Inertia is, and why I truly believe, to kind of reiterate a point from earlier, is that they are a band who people really, really do need to be paying attention to, because I think there is a big upward trajectory waiting for them, and a big launching pad for that has to come with a song like Decompose. Number 76 is Fuse by House of Protection. To me, it's very clear-cut that House of Protection is one of the most exciting new projects in the scene this year. The band is made up of Steven and Ark, formerly of Fever 333, and assistant in production from Jordan Fish, formerly of Bring Me the Horizon. And I think when you listen to a song off of the Galore EP such as Fuse, it should be like pretty clearly evident what it is about House of Protection that makes them special and makes them, again, feel like one of the coolest success stories coming out of this year. Because I think it's one of the catchiest takes that a band could possibly have on a largely industrial inspired sound. It feels like heavy without being super heavy at times. The chorus is like so pop inspired without steering too much into that direction. It's the kind of like balancing act that I think really shows the strengths of House of Protection and how the ideas that are coming from three separate like powerhouse entities are able to find like a comfortable home in the sound of Fuse. Number 75 is Designer Decay by Too Close to Touch featuring Elijah Witt from Cane Hill. If this makes any sense, out of every song that was on Four Keeps, I really think Designer Decay was the one that I appreciated getting to hear the most. Not saying it is the best song on the album, but it's the one that if you had like described to me the way that each of the songs on Four Keeps sounds, I would have pointed to Designer Decay and been like, yes, that one. That's the one that I need to hear how it sounds. I need to hear how the execution of a heavier Too Close to Touch song sounds. And I will say that it has like a very raw feel to its production. I would imagine because the song could not have actually been fleshed out enough or finished per se. But in a very strange way, that raw feeling, I think it makes Designer Decay an even better song. And getting to hear the rough vocals from Elijah of Cane Hill counteracting the tone from Keaton that we've kind of like, or we had always known for him to be able to wield so effectively. It's so interesting to have gotten to hear this song and have understood that had, you know, things been different and Too Close to Touch still being able to have gone on, there's a heavier side of them that they could have explored, and it truthfully fucking sucks, and it's unfair that we're never going to get to hear that, but at least being able to get a glimpse of it off of Designer Decay, this was one of the, like, for lack of a better way of phrasing it, like the happiest moments that I got to experience this year when listening to this music. Number 74 is Two-Faced by Linkin Park. You know what's kind of funny to me, man? It's like, I made almost a fucking 2-hour long episode, like 3 weeks ago now, about Linkin Park, and I feel like I still have more to say about them, especially now in the context of being able to look back on the year that they had, the year that myself and probably a lot of others never thought would actually come to fruition for them, and look at it in, like, sort of a competitive mindset when putting together a list such as this one and figuring out how I actually believe Linkin Park fared against every other band who had music out this year in the scene. And you know what? They fared, I would say, incredibly fucking well for themselves. And a part of that reasoning does come from Two-Faced, which was the final single release ahead of From Zero. The music video, I believe, came out either on Wednesday or Thursday of that release week. And it feels like a super lighthearted video. Like, it's just the band on a stage in some suits making weird faces and getting to play a song that clearly they feel energized by. And in turn, I think the audience of Linkin Park felt energized by the song as well. And it's been really warmly received. I think Two-Faced is the exact kind of song that really, like, pays homage to the roots of the band and the sound that they came from and the sound that so many of us, you know, found them through and fell in love with. It's got, like, a big Hybrid Theory and Meteora energy going for it. And I think getting to hear a song in that limelight and of that caliber with Emily as vocalist, that was another point of reassurance that she is the right person for this role, and her voice has been lending itself so eloquently to this new sound of Linkin Park. Number 73 is Landslide by Kingdom of Giants. It's been way too fucking long since the last Kingdom of Giants album. We're coming up on 5 years now, but we did get the EP Bleeding Star this year, and given that this EP has a song like Landslide as its closer, more than enough to be able to satisfy the desires and the wants of Kingdom of Giants fan like myself, who looks at this band in such a, like, a positive limelight. And I think Landslide, what it does, I would say, better than the other songs on Bleeding Star, even if I think Bleeding Star is just about a flawless EP, is showing the vocal dynamic between Dana and Johnny in maybe as grandiose of a manner as I think Kingdom of Giants have ever been able to. Just the trade-offs, like in the pre-chorus, then the chorus, the instrumentation supporting both members and their voices. There were so many elements of Landslide that came together just so magnificently, and the end result being, in my estimation, one of the best closing tracks all year, not just for metalcore, but the entire scene altogether. Landslide was super effective in those regards, and more than deserving of being a part of this list. Number 72 is Disarm the Hourglass by Rain City Drive. So there may have been like some jumping the gun-esque behavior when I reviewed Things Are Different Now on social media, because in the process of doing so, I actually did refer to Disarm the Hourglass as my favorite song on the album. It's definitely still one of my favorites. Cannot definitively call it right now the favorite, just because of how much a different song in the record has been able to grow for me. But I still look at Disarm the Hourglass as being one of the biggest achievements on the album, because I think in some ways, not totally, but just enough, it's kind of an outlier on the record, because many of the songs on the album that I constantly return to, they have like a little bit of like a pop rock flair to them. Disarm the Hourglass does not. I would say that this song is very much so in alignment with what the band had done on To Better Days. It has like some kind of that aggression mixed into it, a little bit of like a frantic pacing, because there's not really a dedicated intro to the song. It just goes straight into Matt's vocals. But it still accomplishes everything that it needed to in terms of getting to show us what Rain City Drive sounds like when locking in on a heavier style, even on an album that kind of deviates from that. They still have that touch, they still have that ability, and if anybody doubted their capabilities in that regard, then I would say just listen to Disarm the Hourglass and see if that belief is still upheld. Number 71 is Back to You by Yours Truly. One of my favorite releases that I've ever reviewed on this show was the 2022 EP by Yours Truly, which was Is This What I Look Like? And what I had really wanted for the next release by this band was to continue showcasing that like energetic and somewhat aggressive pop punk style, because I thought that was the sound of Yours Truly that really excelled at what it wanted to be and what it tried to do. And it was the most that I ever connected to the band on a personal level. And then so you get into Back to You, which is the opening song on the band's album from this year, Toxic. And literally from the fucking jump, everything that I wanted this album and ultimately this song to be was carried out so fucking well. Because I don't think it just like continues that sound of Is This What I Look Like, but it builds upon it. And Back to You is such a spirited effort by the band. And when you get into the chorus and how explosive the instrumentation is, with Michaela's vocals still sounding as fluid and great as they ever have, Back to You was the perfect choice for an opening song on Toxic. And again, when it came to like having the mindset that I did, where I really wanted this band to expand on the sound of Is This What I Look Like, Back to You gave me that tenfold. Number 70 is In the House of Leaves by Ghost Atlas. I'm So I'll just explain this briefly because this does happen once a year with Top 100 Songs. Just because of how I structure them and how Scenic Overlook works, In the House of Leaves is the only song on this list that is not actually from 2024. It released in December of 2023, but because it was the winner of Scenic Overlook Week 1, which had a bunch of December songs, that's why it's here. Or rather, I should say, that's part of why it's here. The other bigger reason why it's here is because I think this song fucking rules. If anybody is unfamiliar with Gold Satlas, it is the solo project of Jesse Cash, who is the guitarist and clean vocalist of the band Era. And I always love when we get the chance to hear musicians branch outside of what genre they're primarily known for, because Era is at large a metalcore band, but Ghost Atlas takes on an alternative rock sound that in my eyes and in ears channels the like the right sound and the right soul of like 90s and 2000 alt rock. And Jesse does it extraordinarily well. I would say that it's very easy to turn to In the House of Leaves as one of the brightest examples of how effective he is at making this kind of music and making it mean something. Because sometimes, you know, solo projects can just kind of like be an outlet for somebody to explore creativity. And I'm sure that's, you know, in part of what this is for Jesse. But it's also a way for him to just connect with the Era fan base in a way that that band would normally not be able to because of the difference in sounds between Era and Ghost Atlas. I think In the House of Leaves is super vibrant and catchy. It's got a lot of momentum in the way that it's paced, and the payoff in that final chorus where Jesse raises his voice, just so well done in the House of Leaves. And at large, when I look at what Ghost Atlas did this year, I would say that there's a lot to celebrate and a lot that will be celebrated soon when it comes to everything that I'm doing this week. Cryptic stuff. Very, very cryptic stuff. Not cryptic at all, actually. Number 69 is Better Hell, Thick Boy by Bill Murray. So when they ask who are you, point the finger at myself, but I think of you. It's in the past, but I still do. No, I'm not in heaven yet, but it's a better hell than you. I can't even think about you. Y'all think Bill Murray would be happy that I put his song at 69 on the list? I fucking love Bill. I can't say this with a straight face. I don't know why. I fucking love Bill Murray, dude. If anybody doesn't know Bill Murray, previously Johnny Frank from Attack Attack, and Bill Murray has been very, very fun to watch over the last few years. And then now with the album from this year, American Motorsports, Johnny very deliberately embraced like a country inspiration, I guess you can say that, while still being everything that we love Bill Murray as being. I don't fucking know why I keep laughing, man. I guess it's funny, but also like I'm trying to be serious about this at the same time, because Better Hell is genuinely a really, really good fucking song. I think it has one of the best choruses of the year. And again, kind of embracing like a modern country vibe with some pop inspiration. And that's largely what like the country charts are nowadays. And I would know that because truthfully, I've listened to like quite a bit of country this year, probably more than I ever had before. Not probably, definitively. And so maybe that's one of the reasons why it was so easy for me to get into Better Hell the way that I did, and just, you know, like, be right there with the Bill Murray fans in celebrating everything that it is about Bill Murray that has gotten him to this point. Through all the silliness, through, you know, anything that somebody might look at and find cringeworthy or whatever the fuck, man, it's a part of the identity. It's a part of the the environment set by Bill Murray. And look at where it's gotten him, man, because the fucking album American Motorsports, I would say, is one of the most celebrated releases this year on social media. And he's also just coming off of supporting Sleep Token overseas. You know how fucking crazy that sounds, man? Bill Murray and Sleep Token linking up, the members of Sleep Token, Vessel included, being fucking, what does he say? Hog crankers. This all sounds so fucking silly to say out loud, but like, to me, it's so undeniably fun. I think that's the biggest thing to take away from what Bill Murray did this year and how a song like Better Hell, Thick Boy should be looked at. Number 68 is S-Ruck by One Step Closer. And now we're going to make a very dramatic shift from the lighthearted fun nature of Bill Murray and Better Hell, because S-Ruck is one of the most heartbreaking songs that I got to listen to all year. And I appreciated getting a song like this out of One Step Closer, because One Step Closer, I think, really like established a level of dominance this year and becoming a band that I know a lot of people discovered and listened to for the first time and subsequently fell in love with, and very much so deserved, because I think One Step Closer have been one of the like the heroes of emo, I guess is one way to phrase it. And when I hear S-Ruck, I hear a song that knows exactly what it's trying to be and the kind of emotions that it is trying to bring out of listener, because it is very brooding in how it was structured and produced and laid out, like so somber in the slowness of it. And then you get lyrics like in the opening verse, "I fear I lost the hope for all and face myself when I'm alone. You've been stuck in the wrong direction for years." And the way that those lines are delivered vocally, it is like world shattering in so many notions and regards. And I think S-Ruck really came out of the album All You Embrace as the star of the show in so many ways, at least for myself, and what it was about the album that really stuck with me. And you know, in the discussion of like what stuck with me on this album, a lot did, but nothing as emphatically as S-Ruck. And I can confidently say that this was my favorite song this year by One Step Closer. And at large, I think it is the best song that the band has produced yet. And I say yet because they're very young into their tenure right now. And I know that the trajectory that they're about to go on through the next few years and then however long thereafter, there will be more songs like S-Ruck and more songs that really make me look at this band and identify them as one of the brightest stars for the future of the scene. Number 67 is Kintsugi by Like Moss to Flames. So I guess maybe changing the narrative ever so slightly, because I just talked about One Step Closer as being like future pillars for the scene. Like Moss to Flame have been exactly that for a very long time. One of the most respected and revered bands in the scene, and rightfully so for many reasons. And I think one of those is the consistency in being able to deliver on so many emotional notes. And I say that because Kintsugi, in terms of like how the rest of the album, the cycles of trying to cope goes about its like its ideas and all that other shit, Kintsugi is definitely a bit slower in its pacing. It's a bit more somber in the atmosphere than it sets, and that somber atmosphere mixing in Chris Roeder's cleans and screams, I think Kintsugi definitely ended up being like the landmark song for like Moss of Flames this year. I think it's one of the biggest accomplishments by the band in their entire discography. And when I look back on like Moss of Flames in 2024, I know for a fact that Kintsugi is going to be the first song that jumps out to me because of how much it's been able to like stick with me in my head and my heart and help further the case for like Moss of Flames truly being one of the greatest bands that this scene has ever been able to have be a part of it. Number 66 is Eternity by Here's to Now. I had discovered Here's to Now last year, and I know that off of the EP Coping Mechanisms, I had a lot of kind things to say about the band because I truly believed in what they were doing at that time. I truly believed in the sound that I could sense them crafting for themselves, and they built upon the sound this year with a couple of singles, and to me, the standout of that bunch was Eternity. I think if you're looking for anything like within, say, the post-hardcore realm that has like some poppier tendencies in a way, Eternity is the exact kind of song that I would, steer somebody into the direction of. And there are some really sick moments on the song. The guitar work feels like some of the best of the year, not even like from like a technical standpoint, but just from the standpoint of how those sounds were really able to help elevate a song in the biggest and most efficient manners. Eternity is the kind of song that I really wanted to be able to hear out of Here's to Now this year, again, because of the sound that I had heard from them last year, and now getting to hear a song like Eternity, I feel like whatever the band is going to be doing in 2025, whether, you know, it's more singles, an EP, an album, or whatever it's going to be, I have all of the confidence in the world that they're going to just completely smash that shit because of what a song like Eternity tells me. Number 65 is A Memory in Latency by Foreign Hands. The debut album by Foreign Hands, What's Left Unsaid, was one of my most anticipated records of this year. And I feel like if any of you guys had listened to the best of episodes of 2022 and 2023, then it should have been very obvious like how high I have been on this band since essentially their infant stages, and now getting to see their star kind of like grow and rise to the point where I see a lot more eyes and ears on them coming off of What's Left Unsaid. And that's very well deserved. And, you know, there will be more opportunities in this series soon for me to elaborate further on what I think of Foreign Hands in 2024 and how just fucking proud I am of them. But in terms of like focusing in on A Memory in Latency, I think that this song really channels the spirit and the passion of Foreign Hands when it comes to being able to take the style of 2000s metalcore and craft it in a way where it doesn't sound like it just belongs in this day and age, but it sounds like it is meant for this day and age. It sounds like the proper way to take an aged sound of metalcore and make it your own in the modern time. I think that has been one of the biggest strengths of foreign hands throughout their entire tenure thus far. And it's definitely what it is about A Memory in Latency that keeps me going back to it time and time again. Everything about this song hits. The ferocity of it, the catchiness within the chorus, those moments of sorrow that you can hear throughout it. Just overall, an incredible song by an incredible band. Number 64 is Perfect Soul by Spirit Box. This is the most recent song to have made the list, and when hearing it for the first time towards the end of November around Thanksgiving, it was so obvious that it had to be on this list. It was such an easy choice. Even if, again, this is the least amount of time that I've had to spend with a song on this list, there was no way that I could avoid giving Perfect Soul its flowers. I already mentioned the other song by Spirit Box from this year, Soft Spine, yesterday, and I made sure to mention that that song covered a very specific side of Spirit Box where they really amp up the aggression and the heaviness, and then Perfect Soul is the song that exists on the other end of that spectrum in terms of sound and style. For Spirit Box, this song has no screaming in it. Courtney's sound just so elegant in her delivery on those really big key moments such as the chorus. I'm always amazed at how whenever Spirit Box goes about delivering a song this way, it still feels assertive. It still has the right kind of energy for a Spirit Box song, and I think that when you look at how the band was able to deliver on both Soft Spine and then now Perfect Soul, the rollout and the experience for Tsunami Sea in 2025 is going to be incredibly fun and one that lives up to the billing of being Spirit Box. Number 63 is Call My Name by Yours Truly. So already the second time that I'm mentioning Yours Truly in this part of the series, and I think Call My Name in some ways contrasts Back to You just a little bit, not super obviously, but I think what I'm trying to get at is that Back to You had a lot of pop punk energy going for it, and it felt kind of a little bit aggressive in some ways, whereas Call My Name, you don't have that bold factor really until you get to the chorus. The verse is a lot more mellow and kind of charming in some ways. And then once you get to the chorus, that is where the ideas really blossom and the whole concept of the song really takes off. I think that some of the key moments vocally from Michaela in the chorus are the standouts from the song, and more specifically, the way that she uses her voice to stretch out the line, Call My Name, and how she repeats the word name several times in it. It has this, it has this sort of effect to it where just that delivery on the chorus, that was enough to get stuck in my head all the way from January when the song released up to now in December and be very definitively, in my estimation, one of the best songs of the year and ultimately one of the coolest and most spectacular things I've heard out of Yours Truly yet. Number 62 is Exit Wounds by Ben Quad. one of the shortest songs on this list. I think the runtime for Exit Wounds is about like 130, 131, somewhere within that range. Yet, I feel like that's all that was really needed as far as like laying out the canvas and the space for Ben Quad to make Exit Wounds one of the biggest accomplishments of the year for this style of emo music. And I think Exit Wounds, it has so much going for it when you look at how effortless it is for the song to go from being emotional on like a scaled back and almost quiet level to being emotional in the way that the song has like these moments of like outbursts per se, and the way that it kind of erupts into another gear and a higher sound. Exit Wounds was the song this year off of the Ephemera EP that really showed me what I've been missing out on with Ben Quad, and not missing out in the sense of like not knowing about the band, because I have known about Ben Quad for a minute now and I have listened to their stuff, but just in terms of like being able to really embrace this band and their overall style. And coming off this EP, and especially coming off of Exit Wounds, I would consider myself to now have a heightened and greater interest in Ben Quad moving forward. Number 61 is Nervous System by Bad Omens and Iris EXE. I had already kind of briefly mentioned this beforehand on this list, but I felt that Concrete Jungle, the OST, was one of the coolest moments of experimentation and exploration for a band, because a lot of what Bad Omens did in collaboration with other artists for the new original songs on OST, they sound nothing like what the band would have normally gone about making. And I think one of the clearest examples of that is Nervous System. And it sounds like a song that was as morphed to the style and the cadence of Iris EXE as it was the heaviness in Bad Omens instrumentation. And mixing the Bad Omens elements with the Iris EXE elements, you get this very like chaotic yet also structured electronic song that has like the perfect balance of industrial and electronic and metalcore. It was like everything that Bad Omens and Iris EXE wanted to do for the song, and the right way to go about blending their styles. Those expectations were not just met, they were exceeded to the highest of levels, to the fucking ceilings of the world, to the heavens. Any sort of like metaphorical thing I can say to really emphasize the highs that this song achieved, I'm going to do so, because there was a moment in time where I really considered the possibility of Nervous System having been my favorite song on OST. Ultimately, that's not the direction I went into, but Nervous System is still one of the high points of my listening habits this year, and there's very like seldomly been a moment where I put down Nervous System if it comes up on shuffle or anything like that. And that's it. Those were songs 80 to 61. So we've now gotten through parts 1 and 2, almost at the halfway point. If you've been enjoying what you've been hearing, then come back tomorrow for the third installment, which has parts or songs 60 to 41. And then Thursday, the fourth part will be songs 40 to 21. And then the final part of this whole series comes on Friday for songs 20 to 1, which culminates with the official naming of Ulterior's 2024 Song of the Year. Thank you guys so much for all of the support thus far in the series, and the continued support for not just the song series, but the record series next week, and so on and so forth. And again, just thank you guys so much for any and all support. And yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here now. I still don't know how to close these episodes. I will get better at that over time. I just, ever since doing away with the catchphrase, I don't have like a dedicated outro anymore, which is why these all sound very like discombobulated and whatever. And I'm just fucking rambling now. Y'all take care. Have a good day.